Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word. You ready? Let's get it. Would you stand up on your feet? John chapter 4, verse 3, New King James. Thank you, son. Then he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria. Say that. He needed to go through Samaria. Let's pray. Father, move in power. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, we're going to look at a whole bunch more verses of scripture, but that's profound right there, so I just want to stop. He needed to go through Samaria. Jews didn't go through Samaria. It was like the hood. Now, I'm not against the hood. I'm all for going through the hood, but they just wouldn't go culturally. They didn't go through Samaria because Samaritans were considered really an abomination. Jews hated Samaritans, and Jesus, for him to say he had to go through, the King James says, must needs go through Samaria. Why is that? Because God has an appointment in the Samarias of the world. He's on a mission trip. He's going to open up some new territory. His disciples are feeding themselves, which we love to do. Gluttony is like the one sin Christians just wink at. He goes to Samaria, and Samaritans, again, they weren't accepted. And rabbis and good Jews would go around Samaria. They would take the long route around to not go through Samaria. And it's very different. Jesus had to go through Samaria. I want to say to you that God wants to visit the Samarias of your life, like your school. He wants to visit your public school. He wants to visit King's Christian School. He wants to visit KSM, King's School of Ministry. He wants to visit the places where people have been going and perhaps drinking for a long time. He's passing through the Samarias. Jesus will go through places others avoid to reach people others have rejected. Let me say that again. Jesus will go through places others avoid to reach people others have rejected. Not long ago, I saw a group of students, and I encouraged some people to go greet them. And they said, no, I can't. I can't do that. And I thought, okay. And I didn't push them, but I was thought, how sad. How sad that when we don't reach to people that are rejected, how sad it is when we don't reach to people. Jesus loves the down and outer, the up and outer. Jesus loves everybody. There's no racism with Jesus. Come on, somebody say amen. And he's going to the places that people have rejected for years. He's going to the places where people have been rejected for years. He's going to pour out his spirit in mainline denominational churches. He's going to pour out his spirit in Willowa. Come on, somebody say amen. He's going to pour out his spirit in his school. Jesus is coming with fresh visitation upon our church, upon this generation. There's three people here in this text, and we'll read some more here. Let's go ahead and take it from verse 5. So he came to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar. Anybody know what Sychar means? It means intoxication. That's what it means. Near the plot of ground that Jacob gave his son Joseph, verse 6, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied, that's kind of profound, that he would be tired. Because he's fully God and fully, absolutely. Fully God and fully man, yet without sin. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was the sixth hour. So he comes to the well. And in these verses, as we read on here in a little bit, you see three people. You see Jesus, of course. You see his leaders. Again, they're out getting lunch. And the third person you see that's highlighted is this woman. A woman comes. Now later we find out that she's been rather loose. How many of you know what that means? How do I need to attend? Do I need to define that? She's been around. And he doesn't even deal with that right at the onset. He begins to talk to her. And she's coming. She comes with a water pot. She's coming to get water. But the sixth hour of the day is the wrong hour to get water. Why is that? It's hot as Arizona. You don't get water in the middle of the day. So literally, that is not the cultural time to get water. So she goes up so she wouldn't see anybody else. Why? Because she had been rejected. Why? Because of her behavior. Because of her life. I mean, she has so much against her. Yet Jesus sees her and he sees her as someone who's full of destiny. Can I tell you tonight that God sees you and he sees you full of destiny? It does not matter if you're a man or a woman or a boy or a girl. It does not matter the color of your skin. You might be considered a Samaritan by some people, but God looks at you and he sees a human being and he calls you by name and he wants to fill you full of purpose and destiny to fulfill the plan of God. In this hour of history, there's a baton that's being passed. There's a mantle that's being passed. And he's looking for people. And you know what? We would pick, you know, the one who's all perfect and pretty and sinless, maybe. Oh, no. Jesus doesn't do that. He picks people like me. He picks people like you. He picks people that are rejected, down and out. He steps over qualified people and picks people whose heart's right or someone who's humble and broken. I mean, he could use angels to preach. There'd be like global evangelism in a day or less. Everybody saved. Angels showed up or they'd be dead. He sees her full of destiny. He sees her full of purpose. And he gives her an encounter. I heard that over and over during this conference. God is going to encounter you. You're going to encounter God. And that encounter is going to change your life. And you can see this precious lady. She has an encounter that radically transforms her. Have you had that? Have you had a moment where God has touched you, or are you still in the intellectual phase? Because he wants to move beyond your intellect. He wants to touch you in a way that transforms you deep down on the inside. God in this hour not only wants to do a miracle for you, he wants to touch you in such a way that you become a miracle worker. Honestly, I mean, I'm glad I'm not God. How many of you glad that your neighbor's not God? Anybody just want to like crispy somebody? Are you glad that God's merciful? Raise your hand if you're glad God's merciful and kind. God in this hour wants you to encounter him. He wants to do a miracle for you. But if you're constantly coming to get a miracle, if you're constantly coming to get a financial miracle, an emotional miracle, a relational miracle. If you're constantly coming, you're missing something. You know, God has done that for me and my family already. If he never did another thing, as they say in Hebrew, Dayenu. Everybody say Dayenu. It's something they say during Passover. That he's already done it. It's this beautiful revelation that he's already done it. He's taken away my sin. He washed me. He cleansed me. He gave me a new heart. He redeemed me from the pit. He's given me joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, there's no one like him. And sometimes we get in this way of just having to have another miracle. God in this hour wants to do a miracle for you. Absolutely. No doubt. And he does one for this woman. But he wants to touch you in such a way that you become a source of miracles. He doesn't want you constantly coming with a welfare mentality. He doesn't want you coming with a constant victim mentality. He said, but I am a victim. I understand. But you need to be transformed into a victor. And if you keep coming and you keep hearing the word and you get a hold of what I preached you tonight, you get a hold of what I preached you tonight, there'll be a change that happens in the city of your soul, and you'll begin to think different. You'll begin to behave different. You'll begin to come to God, not just for a drink, not just for some water, which is what she's come to the well for. You will actually become a well. Talking and praying with Minister Jake, I said, what do you want me to preach? He said, you know, preach whatever you want, Pastor, but something that could help them stay on fire after the conference. This is that. How to stay on fire after the conference. You say, I was here in a conference. We'll have it all right now, have the whole conference right now, and then be on fire from here. Many of you can't imagine God using you because of your past. I understand that. I couldn't imagine that God would have used me either. And I had all kinds of arguments of how he couldn't use me. Well, I came from a divorced family, or I did this, I did that. I had all kinds of reasons why God couldn't use me. And some of you have those same reasons and more. Well, I did this, or I don't know that, or I'm not educated. I you don't understand, Pastor. She had all those things and more. The first century being a woman. May I remind you that God took Rahab, who was a prostitute, in the book of Joshua? May I remind you that God took this prostitute woman, Rahab, who believed in the Lord and believed in the spies that came and hid them under the flax on her roof and rescued God's agents that came to spy out the land. And when the officials came, she lied like a rug. Oh, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know where they went. You better hurry after them, though. And they gave her a promise. And they said, because you've done this thing, hang this scarlet thread. Everybody say scarlet thread. Scarlet thread. A red cord out the window of your house on the wall. And when we come to hammer this place, we'll save you and everybody that's in your house. It is a prophetic type. It is a type and a shadow. Come on, of the Passover. It's a type and a shadow that whoever is in the house with the scarlet blood cord lamb, you get it? Whoever's in the house, then the death angel passes over. They had just experienced that on a previous generation. Now the scarlet cord hangs out the window of Rahab. And when they come, they spare her. And Rahab becomes a part of the lineage of the Messiah. So don't tell me that just because you were a pimp from a long line of pimps. Pimp. You all know what that is? Prostitute. Let me use that one. It begins with a P. Prostitute, you come of a long line of prostitutes. It does not matter where you've come from. God can heal you. God can save you. God can set you free. And God can take your testimony to use it as a mighty weapon, as a mighty sickle in his hand. It does not matter if your parents got divorced. It does not matter whether you failed out of math class. It does not matter if people don't like you. God likes you. He has an amazing plan, and he's going to use you to change the world. Shout to God right now. That's what's happening. That's what's taking place. Go to John 4, verse 7. Took a house of prostitution and made it a house of salvation. Ought to encourage every single prostitute in the house. Now, come on. John 4, verse 7. A woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away to the city to buy food. And the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, asked a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? So she's shocked because she understands the cultural problem here. Jews don't talk to Samaritans, but this Jew does because this man's different. for Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Verse 10. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. God's purpose for her, was beyond just meeting her need and solving her problems. God wanted to make her a source for the whole city. It doesn't make sense when you look at the different evangelism models of how to reach cities. You don't like pick a prostitute in the natural and then send her out to go minister to all the men that she was with. Oh, that's what happens. God wants to use you. Say it. God wants to use you. Make it personal. God wants to use me. And yes, just like this lady, a woman, strike one. Prostitute. Not prostitute necessarily, but she was with a number of men, which we're about to find out. And she was what some would call a house wrecker. She was with other married men. We don't know the whole story, but we can conclude from the verses. She was disqualified as a woman, disqualified because of her past, disqualified because she was a Samaritan. And the devil will make a list a mile long of how God can't use you in your school. Nobody likes me. Yes, that's probably true, but God does. God likes you. If you can settle it in your heart, if you can renew your mind to understand that you are the apple of his eye, that you're the object of his affection, that he loves you and he cares for you. Oh, he loves me. Oh, he loves me. I don't think that's how the song goes, but I like it. Know the joy that floods my soul. Something happened. And now I know he touched me and made me whole. Lift your hands. May he touch you now. May he break off every lie and every lying disqualification that the devil has put against you. May he sever it from your understanding by the power of the Spirit. It's the reason that Jesus died on a cross. It's the reason he took your sin. He took my sin. Why? That we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're no loser. You're a born again, spirit filled, blood washed child of Almighty God, and his method is to use you. Don't identify yourself with the color of your skin or where you come from or what your mama did or what your daddy did or what you did even last week. It's a new hour. It's a new time. It's a new day. There's a new mantle, and God's raising up people. He's raising up people to change the world. Shout to God. Come on, is that all you got? Shout to God. It's in that moment that he begins to release purpose. Look at verse 11. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Verse 12, are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from him himself, as well as his sons and livestock? There's a move of the Spirit. She didn't understand what's going on. She didn't understand that, like, he's him. She didn't understand that he had water that she knew not of. She didn't understand what he had to satisfy her. She's trying to figure it out, but he's speaking spiritually and prophetically to her. And he's telling her, if you drink from this well, then living water will flow through you. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. He's coming to activate you. That's what he did to her. She got activated, and she went down and became a tremendous evangelist. John 4, verse 13, Jesus answered, whoever drinks this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks the water that I shall give will never thirst. Till what? Never thirst. Till what? Never thirst. Some of you were thirsty. Now that has a definition. It's a little bit different than when I grew up. But the very word for soul is nephesh. It literally also means thirsty. See, there's part of you that's thirsty. Then I don't mean like the term is meant in this Gen Z generation. I just meant for everything. Thirsty for money, thirsty for relationship, thirsty for influence, thirsty for being considered important, thirsty to be included, thirsty to have significance, thirsty. We need God. We need acceptance. We need security. We need significance. You need them, not want. You need them to make you whole. And Jesus purchases all of that. She didn't understand it all. Whoever drinks this water, some of you students here today, tonight, you've had a sip. I said you had a sip of the water. You must continue to drink from it rightly. What does that mean? That means going to church. It means reading the word. It means praying. It means hanging out with Jesus. It means cutting ties with people that defile you. All sin is, and I've said it thousands of times over the years, is a wrong attempt to get a real need met. What are the real needs? Acceptance, security, significance. Let me see your notebooks. Let me see your notebooks. The rest of the congregation's like, what notebook? Get one. It's a good idea. Let me see the notebook, student. Let me see it. Write this down. You need acceptance, security, significance. Say it. Acceptance, security. Cannot hear you. Acceptance, security, significance. Jesus, the very things that were lost in the Garden of Eden by our ancestors, Adam and Eve. You know, did you hear that recently? You say, what? Well, I'll tell you. It's just mind-blowing. Geneticists have just discovered that all of mankind comes from two people. Like, yeah, we know that. Yeah, but they just actually confirmed it. Did you hear that? They just confirmed about 6 months ago that the whole human race comes from two individuals. Wow. Adam and Eve. He touches her in such a way. And I want to say this to you. If all you do is keep coming here as a seeker, if all you do is keep coming to drink from the well here, and this is a great well, you might not have been around. I've been around a little bit. This is a great church, and God's pouring out his spirit. You say, that's kind of arrogant. No, it's just true. And I'm really echoing what I hear from others. And the reason it's great is because God is great. And God is merciful and kind, and he's raised up tremendous leaders that live in holiness and purity and pray. Prayer is one of the main things we do. You want to stay on fire, keep the fire burning. You leave this place, you're going to ignite and stay that way. Then you have to cultivate prayer. Yes, you got to cultivate the word. Yes, you got to spend time with Jesus. Yes, don't hang up on him. Can you say yes? You've got to keep the conversation going. You got to hear his voice. These are some touch points of previous messages, but it must do something in you in such a way that you no longer come just to get your little well filled, your little cup. Because if that happens, it's called maturity. If that happens, you'll begin to quench the thirst of everybody that knows you. And you'll see the Samarias, you'll see your school, you'll see your job, you'll see your workplace, you'll see the community begin to have an experience of God, an encounter with God. So if all you do is drink the water, you'll thirst. But if you drink what I have, you will, you'll never thirst again. You'll never thirst again if you drink rightly. If all you do is keep coming as a seeker, you'll always thirst. But if you begin to do what Jesus teaches here, he'll change you. He begins to bring her into this process, and I'm going to bring you into that process. Now, verse 15. The process from always needing a miracle, always needing a breakthrough, always needing your rent, always needing some money, always needing some favor, to actually being someone who releases rent, who releases favor, who releases miracles, someone who is a well instead of coming to a well all the time. That's called maturity. Oh, I got to say this. I feel it. If all you do is keep coming here and you hear these words, it's very dangerous to go to a church like this. So what's so dangerous? Because you hear messages like this and countless thousands. If you don't allow it to change you, if you stay someone who doesn't get serving and doesn't get activated and doesn't go like she did down to this town and begin to bring in people. If you don't begin to do the word, you will become, everybody say do the word. You will become what I call an unbelieving believer. So you believe that there's miracles, but you don't see it in your life. And soon you'll begin to question, how come God doesn't do this thing for me? I see Minister Jake and the favor he had. I see Hannah and the Johnsons. Man, what's going on? Those guys are just awesome. Well, they just come from a great family. The Johnson family are just amazing. Or whatever you want to plug in. And you begin to excuse why there's no power. And you begin to back away to say, well, I'm just a hearer. You really become just a hearer. You must do the word. If you don't, then you'll become an unbelieving believer. What do you mean? That means when you lay hands on the sick, you should expect them to cover. Recover. I won't ask you to raise your hand if you prayed for anybody recently, but there has to come a time when you begin how to keep the fire. Do it. Do what you've just been taught over the past few days. Activate. Reach to that kid who cuts themselves at school. Reach to the one who's angry, the loner who walks with his head down, dressed in all black. Stop them. Tell them about the love of God. Listen, I've done funerals for kids. I've done funerals for kids. They were a part of the school, and we had students that went to that school, and I kind of asked, hey, do you know this person? Yeah, they're really weird. Yeah, they are weird. We're all weird. We need the love of God. Let that compassion work on the inside of you. Verse 15, the woman said to her, sir, give me this water that I may no more come draw. In other words, like, I don't want to come here anymore. Verse 16, he said to her, go call your husband. Oh, snap. Begins to prophesy. It begins to deal with this process of transforming her. Call your husband. Tell him to come here. Verse 17, the woman said, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, you've said, well, I have no husband, for you've had five. And the one whom you now have is not your husband. Oh, spill the tea. In that you spoke truly. The woman said to her, sir, I perceive you're a prophet. For sure. He's dealing with her before you can become a well, you must deal with the truth. Anger matters. Greed matters. Lust matters. Lying matters. These things matter. The Ten Commandments, obeying the Ten Commandments matter. Everybody say they matter. They matter. And if you don't get that out of your life, it'll be like a rock that's in the well. It'll be just stopped up. You won't be able to flow because there's something in the way. And you just think, well, like, Lord, don't you even want to use you? He wants to use you, but you got to get rid of your whoring ways. Oh, is that too strong? You should see what's on reels. Not that I see any of that. I just know it's out there. You got to get rid of the perversion. You got to get rid of the lust. You got to get rid of the greed. You got to get rid of that stuff that's clogging up your well. Truth matters. Come on, say it. Truth matters. How come God's not using me? I just preached it last Sunday. I'd encourage you to go listen to it. Cain wanted to be accepted, and the Lord rebukes him and say, hey, if you do the right thing, will you not be accepted? You want God's power to flow through. You want to experience victory. You want to experience peace like a river and joy like a fountain. You want to experience the power of God. Then you've got to do it God's way. And let me just tell you, I didn't white knuckle it and then end up doing it God's way. He fooled me. He got me. So how did he do that? He touched me with such an encounter of his love that I fell in love with him. And so I do all the right things by the grace of God. And when I fall short, my wife tells me, and so does the Holy Spirit. And I repent. And I live an ongoing lifestyle of repentance. I don't have any known, I'm checking myself as I'm saying, I don't have any known sin in my life. said, is that possible, Pastor? Yeah, I had some attitudes today. Anybody else have an attitude today? But I've repented. Amen. I'm going to do better tomorrow. Come on, somebody say amen. But he touched me with the love of God. He touched me in such a profound way that I could not deny him. And I couldn't shake it off. And it gave me a longing to just please him and love him. I've told this story before, but when Karen and I, we fell in love, and I had this 1969 Pontiac Le Mans, and I had a picture of my beautiful soon-to-be wife on my speedometer, covering the speedometer. And when I would get off of managing this particular hotel in the Hawaiian Islands, the restaurant, I'd get in my car, and I'd be like, let's go! Woo! And I would just look at that, oh, I'm going to... going to go see my girl. That's how you should live your life with God. You're so in love with him, you just can't wait. You just put the foot down. Yeah, Rama Kalaraman Shanda. You just put your foot down. Lift your hands to Jesus and say, I'm putting my foot to the floor. When you fall in love with him, that's what happens. You don't have to convince me to take this beautiful woman on a date. You didn't have to convince me to go get flowers. You didn't have to convince me to like stare at her. Why? Because I was in love. This is my girl. Christianity should be passion driven because of your love for God. Not because you gotta, oh, I gotta go to church. Oh, I got a bunch of, I gotta obey some rules. I can't do that. It's wrong. And then in your mind, like, gonna fall in love with God. And that's what's happened this whole conference. He's touched you. You've fallen in love with him. I pray. But it must be cultivated. So he deals with truth. Let me say this. In the end, hearing the word is not enough. It's doing the word, living it, obeying it, walking it out that satisfies. That's what will satisfy you. Going to church doesn't satisfy. Doing the will of God satisfies. Go to John 4, 20. Our fathers worshiped on this mountain, and you Jews say that Jerusalem is the place that one ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you'll neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You will worship, you worship what you do not know, and we worship what, pardon me, and we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God, look at verse 24, God is spirit. Say that. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. The whole point is that you don't just find him in a place. He's in the realm of the spirit, and he comes to take up residence on the inside of your heart. I think everybody, absolutely everybody needs a pastor. No doubt. But the revelation that he lives on the inside of you, come on, greater is he that's in than he that's in the, yeah. I can lay hands on myself. I can encourage myself in the Lord, you know. I spent time with that precious brother who just lost his wife. I don't know, maybe he's 35. I don't know how old he is. Just lost his wife and his baby, Joshua, we pray now, healed in Jesus' name. He's hoping this child's going to come out of it. Two broken legs from where the car seat was. Driving on the way to Anchorage, and a man had a heart attack on the other side. Blew across the median. Craned a different. Slided against a couple cars and hit his wife's car while he's behind them in another truck, head on. He tried to save his wife. I held him while he confessed and shared all the things that he was going through, weeping, weeping, weeping. I'm weeping with him. And I prayed for him that God would turn it for good. And I believe he got encouraged. He told me about Chaplain Ed, your visit to him and how that deeply impacted him. He told me about other people that had come. He said, the church has been just around us. It's just awesome. And we're going to help them even more. But I'm driving home. The sorrow I was experiencing was so intense. I mean, I've been through a lot. I've been pastoring going on 30 years. I've been through a lot of intense, heavy-duty things. I've seen a lot of death. I get to live life like a thousandfold. So many babies and so many blessings and so many sad things and people dying and backsliding and death, and even murder, even suicide. And I'm driving back, and this was a top 10 sorrow that I was feeling. I called my wife. She prayed for me. And I was driving my truck, and I thought, oh God, I need you. I need you. And I began to pray, and I put on some worship, and the fire of the Holy Ghost came in my truck, touched me, was weeping. I think the Lord was weeping. Just such a moving moment for that family. And I thought, God, save that boy, save that little baby. But all the sorrow just lifted off. You don't just find him in a place. Yes, you can find him here, but take him home. Live with him. Walk with him. Talk with him. We're going to move forward and begin to pray for people here in a moment. But I think the devil has worked. Listen very closely to what I'm about to say. I think the devil has worked very hard. Very hard to cause the kingdom to be about places and not about presence, not about him. Because I can have church on the mountain. And for those of you that say, well, I don't go to church, I go to the mountain. That's also screwed up. 1 John talks about that. He lives on the inside of you. And if he doesn't, I'm going to give you an opportunity to rectify that in just a second. He lives on the inside of you. Where you go, he goes. You should think about that. Where you might be going to a place he doesn't want you to go. You don't just find him in a place. He's in the realm of the Spirit. Verse 27. And at this point, the disciples came and they marveled. Come on, we're getting to the main essence of what I want to tell you of how to stay on fire. They marveled that he talked with a woman, because that's not what rabbis would do. Yet no one said, what do you seek? Or why are you talking with her? Verse 28, the woman left her water pot and went her way into the city. Why did she leave her water pot? Because she got something that's better than any water that was being served from Jacob's well. She received something that changed her so profoundly. She abandoned her water pot. She went to the men. Verse 29, come and see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? When they went out of the city, they came to him. In the meantime, the disciples are urging him, Rabbi, eat. When she left her water pot, she left a mentality. Listen to me. Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. Bump your neighbor. Bump them. Come on, long day, game, camp, all that. Wake up. Ready? When she left her water pot, she left a mentality of just being someone who drinks from some well. She became a well. You need to leave the mentality of constantly coming to youth group, constantly coming to church where you're just going to get filled. You've got to grow up now. You got to mature now. It's time now. If you really want to walk in satisfaction and fulfillment, then you got to become a well. And that is God's plan. It's not God's plan for you to come and then me just sprinkle you and give you, feed you. You know, beautiful, your beautiful daughter, she can feed herself a little bit right now. I mean, she can eat. She loves eating. I love eating. If she didn't know how to feed herself, there would be a problem. She's learning. She's growing. It's great to come to church. It's great to hear messages that move you. It's great to have God touch you when hands are laid on you, but it must, please hear me, turn in you to change your mentality where you come just to seek him and you become actually a well instead of drinking from one. Come and drink from this well. It's deep, it's pure, it's glorious and awesome, and I'm so grateful. But drink in such a way that it changes you. That's how you keep the fire. That's how you keep this zeal and this passion. Somebody said, Pastor, how come you're on fire? I can't help myself. He's good. He's good. Verse 31, in the meantime, the disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat. Verse 32, he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Huh. Therefore, the disciples said one another, has anyone brought him something to eat? They don't get it. Jesus is opening up a whole new region and they're thinking about their belly. Their God, there's a scripture in Philippians. Their God is their belly, their appetites, koileia. Don't let your God be your belly, your appetites. Have God be your God. Have an appetite for him. And he says in verse 34, listen closely. You don't want to know how to stay satisfied, how to stay on fire? Here it is. You ready? Underline it. Put it in your notes. Jesus said to them, my food, my sustenance, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. My food is to do his will. If you'll learn to do his will, you won't have anybody having to come and encourage you all the time or constantly bring a miracle to you, because you'll be carrying breakthrough. You'll be carrying miracles. You'll be carrying the power of God to a lost and a hurting and a broken world. It's not about being a victim. It's about being a victor. It's about being somebody who's complete, somebody who's healed, somebody who's whole. Oh, Psalm 16, at his right hand, there's pleasures forevermore. Worship team, would you come? Lift your hands to heaven. How to stay ignited and on fire? Go! What do you mean? How to stay ignited and on fire? Go! Go! Back to the original message that Pastor Joshua preached with Gideon. Gideon says to the angel, angel comes and defines him by his heart's cry, oh, mighty man of valor. Mighty man of valor, he's Chicken Little. He's hiding in a wine press, threshing wheat from Midian, who was so oppressive. And the angel comes and says, hey, world changer. He's like, dude, what? I'm the least of my clan. Dude, I'm the runt of my family and I'm hiding. What do you mean, world changer? Hey, mighty man of valor. The Lord speaks to this generation and says that you're a mighty man, mighty woman of valor. God speaks to you. It doesn't matter your past. It doesn't matter what you come from. It does not matter. It'll all be a powerful testimony. And the angel is talking to Gideon later verses, and Gideon says, how do I know that you're with us? I mean, all this stuff, if you're with us, why is there Midian? We're oppressed. If you're with us, why this? Why that? If you're with me, why did my parents get divorced? Can I get personal? If you're with me, how come I don't have any money? If you're with me, how come I'm struggling with sorrow and sadness and cutting myself? If you're with me, why do we have all these problems in our culture? Why is there all this anger and hatred? Why is there disease? Why did my aunt die of cancer? If you're with me, why did all these things happen? And what does the angel say? The angel says, go. What kind of an answer is that? Matthew 28. See, for God to pour out his spirit, he looks for a man. He looks for somebody to go. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It's a great commission. Sign up to fulfill it in your life. Whether it be in marketplace, or whether you become a missionary or a pastor or a teacher or a doctor or a lawyer or whatever vocation you find yourself, let it be a part of the Great Commission, and you will never stay in the place of doldrums. You will never be in a place where you're constantly thirsty, because you'll be full of fire doing the will of God. Everybody say, go, go. With every head bowed, every eye closed, it's 8:40, and I've allowed for time to do what we're about to do. But before we do that, let me ask you, where are you with God? If you're not right with God, you want to give your heart to Jesus for the first time, you believe that he died, you believe he rose again from the grave, and you're not right with God tonight, give your life to Jesus. It's the first step, being ignited, keeping the fire. You say, that's me. Okay, great. Raise your hand if that's you. Give your heart to Jesus first time or make a recommitment. God bless you. Thank you. Anybody else? God bless you. Lift your hand high. Unashamedly lift your hand. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you all the way in the back. Over on this right, on this left-hand side. God bless you. Lift your hand high. Want to receive Jesus tonight, Lord and Savior. Online, perhaps. God bless you. I see that hand. Pray this with me right out loud. Say, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die in my place. I believe he rose again from the grave. And I ask you tonight to wash me. Come on, write out loud. To wash me, to cleanse me, and to make me new. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Amen. Lift your hands to heaven. Holy Spirit, come and fill a touch. Set people free from a victim mentality. Release your power upon these now. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com, and may God's face shine upon you and give you peace.